All right, what is up, Nap and Nap, for another episode of the Balls Deep Football Podcast. It's week six. My name is Dave. You can call me Beans. And this is my friend Troy. Oh. You can call him Nappy. Nap.
We're going
Nap.
Government names today, yeah.
I think it's already out there, man. I mean, you can already draw the lines in the sand back to me.
If you really want to find out,
that's why I'm growing this mustache, to a little bit of covert, and so then I can shave it my day job. But anyway, how you doing, man?
Good, man. What's up? Shit, fantasy finally, you know, turning around. Shit, I thought I was done. I thought I was about to retire early. That Barry Sanders.
So you squeaked out your first win of the season. Congratulations. You are now 1-4. Showing life. I think we are looking at one team in the league that's 4-0, and then we have a couple
5-0,
of
5-0.
Oh, 5-0 now. Okay.
Yeah. So you got 1-5-0. You got 1-4-1. That's Will. Steve, we'll talk about him later. But yeah, and then the rest is a thick pack of 3-2s and 2-3s. Yeah.
So things could swing out pretty well for you if the stars align and Nico Collins' bet pays off. That got a lot of, which they're not hot takes or anything, but just everyone has the kind of same reaction to that trade. Is like, oh, wow.
It's like the WTF, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So far, I mean, Nico didn't have an explosive game, but Nico played Saquon set out, so, hey, you know. But, yeah, I guess we'll see. What about you, man? Joe Burrow looks like no need to worry, huh? Starting to look better.
Well, I think it was kind of an easy play a little bit, not just because Geno was on bye, but he was going against the Cardinals, and it was kind of like if he was going to have a bounce back game, that was a good one to have it. And so the Cardinals definitely, everyone's like all of a sudden breathing a breath of fresh air or sigh of relief, mm-hmm. more so that, oh, they're going to be all right. So we'll see what happens there. But I actually didn't catch that game particularly. I was just kind of watching the stats from far away. But I will say,
we're talking about the Cards.
Well, no, I would just say overall, I think came away from this past week a lot of injuries. We woke up to some even today. A lot of players going on IR. My Cinderella story with Devon, A-Chain, A-Chan is
a Jackie Chan. J-Chan
is seemingly. Are you sure about that? A-Chan.
A-Chan, promise.
Okay, A-Chan, all right.
We got it right. It's the third show, but we got it right.
All right, man. Well,
A-Chan.
It looks like knee injury is going to have him out for several weeks, so now down. So, yeah, we'll talk about that and all the fallout we might need to do for our league. But
that's the first one I'd like to get into. I mean, that's obviously your player, the fantasy implications, the domino effects. I mean, do we want to – Jeff Wilson now has an opportunity coming off IR to get carries. Raheem Mostert, we know, is not durable itself. So, yeah, it looks like someone else is going to step up too. I don't know if they're going to sign another back, but just be on the lookout, right, because this team's not going to – they're almost like plug and play like San Fran before CMC got there, right? Like, any back was going to work out, you know what I'm saying, in the scheme. So, this is tough. You already know then, huh? So MCL or something like that, maybe 4 weeks?
I didn't get the
full
detail.
There's a bye week in between there. And that's usually why they let these players rest longer. Remember, just because they're not 100%, like, don't mean they can't play. It's just what high risk of re-injury and whatnot, right? So,
and that was going to be my next point. Like, even when he comes back, I'm sure he'll come back at some point. It's not going to be to the level he was kind of striding there. Whether those games were fruits or not. But like, you know, that's the kind of the crappy thing. Like, you're not going to get that player 100% back now. You'll get a form of him back, and so either way, I got to go shopping. Because
I say he ain't coming back to week 12 pretty much, and then by then fantasy playoff starts. So yeah, you're right. You got to get someone else. I would say he was a luxury though on your squad, right? Or at least for the Dolphins. You know what I mean? The Dolphins didn't need his ass, and that was a hell of a pickup for you. And I hope you got some victories out with him.
I did, and that's what I'm saying. What we said last episode
did
was
his part, right?
Yeah. He was the Burrow was going down and hadn't been performing the first 2 weeks, and he was a bright, sunny spot. So it's kind of like he was a nice way to carry the team, and now Burrow's maybe coming back a little bit. So hopefully it counteracts like who's really pulling the team, at least on my roster. But that's the one thing.
So.
And I think it's like that's how you have to usually get lucky and string them all through. I haven't looked at Steve's, honestly, wins week by week to really see how he's how much he's winning by, and like if it's a few players or specific players, or have you seen –
I will say Discord did just spit out, Bernard got one of the bots that be telling us, how they did for the week or a weekly recap.
Okay.
They had him, I think, like at points for 830 or 850 or so. And the lowest person, which I was probably 10th or 11th, at 650. So he's outscoring last place by 200 points score. So, I mean, that right there, is, if anything, is pretty, you know, pretty telling one. I can't get it right now, but it'd be nice to see where he is compared to first and second. Well, oh, yeah, here it is right here. 826, Steve, and then Will's 815. So, I mean, after those two, though, everyone else is in the lower 700s and down. So, I mean, hey, it's Steve and Will at the class at the top of it right now as far as points scored, huh?
Okay. Yeah, I was just I guess my point there, I was looking at just how if he's just getting lucky or just has a good combination of players, because I think to perform really well, you have to have a combination of, like, the players you picked are really good, and then you've lucked out, and I think he has
– And some luck. Yeah.
So you have the rookie wide receiver from the Rams.
Oh, his a league winner waiver wire pickup, right? Oh, Puka, Pocahontas has. Balling, boy.
I was going to say, is back,
and they both Nakua? Still perform. Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it, but yeah. Opuka, yeah.
Yeah.
That boy.
Anyway, yeah. So,
like, yeah, so a little bit of luck, too, you know, but then again, you can't say luck. He was aggressive. He went for it, got that guy off the waiver wire, and fucking.
And I guess that's the point. That's kind of the point of the title of this episode, Riches to Rags, because it's this, like, you felt like you kind of fell into some riches there with the I mean, for me, like the running back with. The Dolphins, but then you have I think Bernal, for example, he had Cooper Kupp on IR, and then he had Justin Jefferson, and all of a sudden now he's going to IR and he's getting Cooper Kupp back, so it's a swap there. So he thought, like, you know, the
universe
feeling
always correct itself.
So it's been funny to watch, like, how the injuries have chicken out. And then I think we heard James Conner is another name that's going to IR, and I believe, did you say something to this? Can you shine more light on that?
Nah, James Conner, MCL sprain. I mean, shit, like I said last week, if everybody was tuning in, dog, like I told you, Conner was going to kill weeks 1 through 4, but big motherfucker like that, we know every year he's going to wear down. He's a tough, punishing runner, dude, and it's not a knock on him, but it's just, I mean, he was punishing people already, so this was bound to happen. Now it's the MCL, 2 to 4 weeks, so I was wrong though on Keontae. I thought Keontae Ingram would be the guy to get, or would be the one to benefit off these vacated carries, but it's actually going to be Amari, I believe, if that's how you say his name, badass last name, Mercado, but yeah, Cardinals, you know, people might dog on it, like, who wants anyone from that team for fantasy purposes, but there's always value for sure, you know. Hey, if we can just keep rolling real quick on the injuries, Khalil Herbert, that's a guy, another MCL. A lot of these MCL sprains, you know what I mean? I don't know if that's lack of preseason, not more playing time, not more stretch. I don't know what it is, but Khalil Herbert's out. So, that was a high ankle sprain, I think. But, so you already know who you want to benefit there. Is it going to be Deontay Foreman or Roschon Johnson? We talk about that later. You know, bro, last week, Beans, we skipped QBs. I'm just going to spend a little bit on it, but I don't think we should ever talk. I mean, QBs are kind of obvious, right? Whatever's on the waiver wire, you just go with it. But AR, I just wanted to mention AR. You know, I love AR. That motherfucker didn't finish another game. Now he's out, I think, a month. AC joint sprain in the shoulder.
Did he play?
I'm trying to attack these boys, man. I'm trying to attack them. What's up?
So he was in last this past week, 5 competition?
Yeah.
Okay. So he returned and got knocked back out?
Man, maybe I'm wrong. Either he didn't finish week 3 or week 4 or this one. Yeah, because Minshew did play, and the Colts look good with Minshew, dog.
Minshew's not a bad quarterback. It's the class. He's a Case Keenum, you know, good serviceable quarterback. But I'm not going to build a franchise around you, kind of guy.
Hey, No, for sure, yeah. Hey, man, that's all really got injuries. I mean, there's a lot more of them, but you know, a lot of them we already know. People coming off, people coming back. All I would say is go ahead and get those other running backs, because a lot of these guys that we mentioned last week to stash, they're already getting an opportunity, you know, this upcoming week, you know. Not saying that we're geniuses for hitting on it, but shit, I mean,
and I think
all you had to do was get that lotto ticket.
Yeah, and so I think going forward, it's like, what is the move here? When so I have Austin Eckler down, and he's going into a bye week, but they said he's still down at the moment, so this ankle injury that he's had just lingering since after week 1. So I don't know if it was something that was already an issue before, but it seems like it was really bad, and it's holding him out. So he's basically shelled for a long time. Now my running back that actually was the hot hand is down. I only had 2 running backs. So there's not a lot of depth to go find in the waiver wire. unless I'm looking for 4 or 5 points. So, long story short, I need to go shopping, I think. So I gotta
go trade, huh?
I gotta see who I want to trade. We can get into that later in the Balls Deep League about trades and stuff. But I have some thoughts around that, so we'll come back to that.
Yeah, I would say for sure Eckler. I mean, I think the Chargers have a bye week 7 or 6, so we're not gonna see him till after then, right? Since you know, why bring him back if we just gonna have a bye week the following week is probably their logic. So for sure Eckler's out till at least after week 6. So can you win out 2 more weeks without Eckler? I mean, you're going to get him back. He ain't going to be 100%. Re-injury might be moderate, right? But at least, you know, motherfucker still can get in there, get you some points, and, you know, let you scramble another week or two to find that running back, you know, for when this motherfucker goes down. Because Eckler going to go down too, you know. I would say trade his ass. You're right. You know.
I mean, him or something else, but we can go into that later about.
Yeah, So what else we got? What's next, brother?
So you want to go into sell high, buy low, and start the clock here?
Yeah. Let's get it.
All right. Love it. So it's kind of like a reoccurring segment. But sell high, buy low. And maybe that's kind of we can tap in a little bit into trading.
You know, it's a cute little name, you know? But like it's more of players that you might want to sell. Hey, you know, you never know. You sell high, what does that really mean? You know what I mean? Like, because if you get back a good player, I guess you sold high for him. But what if you get back, you know, the same value player? That's still a good trade. And you know, I digress, right? But last week, we missed on a couple guys, you know, we'll throw that out. Cole Kmet, he actually rewarded fantasy players another week, you know, so if you kept him, you played him, you know, but I'm a double down, man. This kind of position, if when you have it, you should sell it, you know what I mean? Because there's going to be somebody out there willing to pay top dollar for a tight end one that they can set and forget, which is Kmet, you know. But the reason I say I missed it last week, we said we should trade him, sell him high. But, you know, that could have put you in a bind because it did in one of my leagues where I ended up having to play, I believe, Evan Ingram or someone else and didn't get, you know, what I was looking for, I suppose. I think the jury's still out on Brian Robinson. This guy, man, he was averaging, I think, 14 points a game, man, PPR. Didn't get to last week, you know, season low, what? He played a third of the snaps that he usually does, man. And that's, I think, just game script, right? That's just, I'm just mentioning that because, hey, it was a game where, hey, this guy's consistent, but the Bears jumped ahead early, and who knew? Who knew the Bears had some life in him? You know what I mean? You heard about old Buckus passing away?
I did. That's,
yeah, shame, I was like, that was Thursday night. Yeah. Rest in peace, man. Moment of silence, man. Shit. I think that's what inspired the Bears to whoop that ass that night, I guess. But Robinson. So you know he had been doing decent, right? It's just I got 3 out of 5 games. You know like I said, the game strip didn't favor him. But even in PPR, he was still right there, almost about to get double digit points. And
I mean, anytime a player's, I mean, so yeah, first week. 13,
if you got a guy who's 1-4, it doesn't have running back help. A guy's 1-4, ain't got running back help. You might be able to pawn this guy off, you know, try to pick that guy's wide receiver 1 or something. I don't know, package deal, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at this thing. It's pretty standout. I mean, it looks like, yeah, Bob, my father has him. Has he been playing him at all? Has he been utilizing him?
I believe so, yeah. And as far as competition, like, let's look at everything. Opportunities there, obviously. Who else is in his supporting cast? Okay, Sam Howell. People ain't don't like Howell. But, I mean, hey, he's doing all right, bro. He's steering the ship. And then, of course, you got Scary Terry. Jahan Dawson is not doing as well, but at least Curtis Samuel's holding it down as a wide receiver 3. So there is supporting cast there. Everyone's kind of alleviating some pressure off of him. And that's why I think, I mean,
according to Sleeper,
a sell candidate is basically what I'm getting at. And we said that last week to sell him. And if you did, hopefully you got something good in return. Like I said, a wide receiver 1. If not, I mean, I'm sorry, maybe I'm talking too much, but I mean, maybe like a T. Higgins, you know what I mean? Maybe you could get this guy for a Jalen Waddle, you know, somebody that was struggling wide receiver 2 that you're hoping comes back. Anyways, I want to go to who we think, man, this week, man. If you ain't sold Zach Moss, as you should, and I know people were scared because JT is back, but it just shows you they're going to ease him in, man. They gave him a new contract, but.
Do you know what the terms of the contract were and like who kind of lost in the stare down there?
I don't know who lost. I know Taylor got the money he was looking for because it was a shorter deal. I thought it was a 3-year. And then I want to say 40-ish type million. Man, I don't know. But I guess we'll look it up real quick. We'll see. Taylor contract. Yeah, I think 3-year, $42 million extension. Yeah. Damn, I was almost right. Yeah. No confidence.
Because you were on record of saying, like, no one was going to trade for him. If people wanted to, they already would have, kind of thing. And then news came out shortly after that the Colts said you could go seek a trade. And then I guess they'd never found pretty much what you said, that trade no one partner. Was really going to get a trade partner for the terms that they really wanted. So then came back. So I was wondering if he kind of maybe came down off of his whatever.
I believe that they realized there was no market out there. They realized there was no one else was going to pay him that. Yeah, for sure. And that's why some of these players complain sometimes. They'd be like collusion. They'd be saying the owners are all doing it together. Like, oh, I don't.
So what has history said about these players who come back like week 4, week 5, off the street kind of thing from contract disputes?
I think they're going to be all right, man. Well-rested, especially him. They are professional players. So as far as real life, though, who's the last guy? I kind of forget. Le'Veon took a whole year off, didn't do as well with the Jets, but that was more than just
and
him,
I think that's probably what I'm feeling or referencing. Like, my last time I saw something like this, it didn't come in, you know. But that's a whole different team. So this is same team, same player.
And I believe they don't need him to, or they will ease him in, you know, because Zach Moss is doing so well. Because of that, hopefully, hey. What I wanted to mention with Zach Moss, so I think you should still sell him high, you know. If for any reason – look, man, out of this guy, and this is what Dia told me, Zach Moss pretty injury prone. Missed, I think, 5 games in 2021 and 5 games in 2020. So it's like, you know, out of the 2 of the last 3 years, this motherfucker's missed 5 games each of those seasons. That's kind of wild there. But then on the flip side, this guy has had 5, you know, games scored at least double-digit points each of the last 3 seasons. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as far as a guy that's got a pretty decent ceiling and he hit it, you know, 33% of the time in your fantasy regular season, you know, out of 12 weeks, he's hitting it 5 times, double-digit points. I mean, that's not bad either. So what I'm trying to say is mix that data together and see, is it time to drop his ass? Because has he already peaked? You know, motherfucker had 30 points, 40 points. Does he still have nut left in him? You know what I mean? Like, you beat your meat 3 times that day because family's out of town and shit, you ain't got nothing to do. It's like, it's, you know, I don't know. Zach Moss might be done, you know, so. He might have got all we could out of him, you know?
Well, when he was with the I tried to roll the dice with Zach Moss a few times when he was on the Bills, and it never worked out. And then with the
Always Colts, got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then with – so for tenure with the Colts, it looks like – how long has he been with the Colts? Since 2020? Since 2021?
2021? I thought it was just last year, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I think he was with the Bills. Anyway, his 2021 season was good. His 2020 is – Sorry, his 2022 season was not, and then so last year wasn't that great for Zach Moss actually, but the year before that it was pretty good. So yeah, kind of up and down players, what I'm getting at, and I'm on your side. Yes, sell him high if you can would be my recommendation, or I would agree with you of your recommendation from what I can see in the data here, and just my own experiences. So,
and man, just some names to spit off on the buy low. Maybe you could look up excuse me, this cat for me. You know, last week we mentioned Chris Olave. I actually traded for him. I gave up T. Higgins. I wouldn't necessarily say that's a buy low, you know, because T. Higgins was a high draft pick. But I would say try to look for something like that, a struggling wide receiver too. You know what I mean? I keep saying Jalen Waddle. He finally scored, though, for the Dolphins. You know, the Giants, there hasn't been an alpha dog emerge yet. Is it Wandale Robinson? Well, he just had a concussion, I think. So now I was like, shit, where are we looking? The Saints, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, not the Saints. Bengals, you know what I mean? If T. Higgins isn't the one, is it Tyler Boyd? No, he isn't the one. So who's it going to be? There's no tight end. You know what I mean? Is it going to be another running back? Can it be Jaleel McLaughlin and Sam G. Perrine? You know what I'm saying? That's what we're trying to look for, right? To buy low on these type of guys that – You know what I mean? Buy low. So you're trading something for him too. You know, you're trading a potential, you know, that you've been holding on to maybe. You know, it might be a keeper. It might be somebody like Jackson Jigba. Somebody that didn't perform, but you can dangle to somebody like, hey, this guy. If only, you know, Tyler Lockett, you know, dies, Jackson will, you know, be worth something, you know. But anyways, hey, man, that's what we got for buy high. Oh, yeah. So Olave, you know, I would say he really would have 2 goose eggs in my book, week 4 Tampa Bay and last week. Only thing is he scored a touchdown, and that salvaged his game. You know, without that touchdown, though, which, you know, it's tough to call a touchdown a fluke, but that was his first TD, you know, so maybe he was due.
And maybe a buy low. I kind of have washed my hands of him, but Kadarius Toney of the Kansas City Chiefs, I actually dropped
Kadarius Toney, bro. You dropped him, right? Yeah, and the fact that, dude, he's actually caught 13 out of 14 targets since that shitty week one, too, or that shitty week one.
I think I just looked, and he his last outing was 7 points or something. So, and that's the highest he's gotten all season.
It ain't much. It ain't downfield, but he's getting it back.
I think he is, and I think he's a good pickup. I just at the time, and here's my thought on, you know, the way that I process and deal with things about letting a player go, then they get hot, or vice versa. You know,
did you get the timer, bro?
Oh man, I think we already finished this. Let's go on the new topic. Yeah. I'll finish it, but I'm just saying.
No. We just started the new one. Yeah, we just started the new one. Yeah, I'll see if you want to start. No, that's cool.
Yeah, I'll start the new one. But yeah, what I was gonna say is, you know, if you're not performing when I need you, then you're no good to me. You know, doesn't matter if you're gonna perform well when you're not gonna help me win week three. You know,
because greatest attribute is availability.
So weekly deep sleeper waiver targets. Clock's rolling. 7 minutes. What you got?
Yeah, man. So we got weekly deep targets. Well, we on week six or seven. Damn. Anyways, yeah.
Six.
Yeah. Rashee Rice, man. You know, he's already picked up. If he's not, I mean, go get him. You know, I think the last 4 out of 5 games, this guy's got at least 2 targets, 2 catches. If that don't sound like a lot. I think the last 4 out of 5 games, he's had 5 targets. He's, you know, he's starting to build the trust. So I'm saying it's going to blossom soon. Get his ass now. You know what I mean? We just talked about how Tony could be gaining the trust back. Who's the one that's – who's the other side of Tony? That's this guy right here, Rashee Rice. He's the reason that they're thinking Tony's expendable, you know, especially after those drops week one. But what I'm saying, you know, hey, this guy, I'm not sure what this stat really means, but he does lead, you know, the team with 4.5 yards per route run versus zone coverage. So I guess that's a success rate or some shit like that. I don't know, you know, but I know KC going to set him up with good. Andy Reid going to set him up good scheme-wise. You know, I know we missed on Tank Bigsby. Thought he was going to do something, but apparently Travis Etienne is the real deal, healthy, a boss for the Jags. So, you know, it's clearly Bigsby's just an insurance policy, man. He ain't worth the roster spot. Yeah, there's Rashee Rice there, and I believe Bob has him too, motherfucker. And look at that, you know. I mean, that's right there. It's already impressive for a rookie. You're talking 3 double-digit games in the first out of the first 5 weeks of the season. So,
yeah, I wish Sleeper made it easier to put these guys up side by side, but just looking at them, like, because I just looked at, I glanced at Tony's stats. He's definitely performed better than Tony over the course of the season so far. Going to week six, Tony's still listed as the number one. I mean, the first wide receiver two. So interesting on that one. So yeah,
hey,
Tony's definitely like a kind of big question mark. You know, he could put it together and all of a sudden, you know, command more of the targets. But right now, I think Rashee Rice is definitely kind of stepping above Tony. So Tony's kind of like oh shit, I need a wide receiver the day of play.
Let me give you 3 names here. You pick one of them to pull up there, bro. Whoever you like the most. I got Taji Spears. These are running backs. Taji Spears or Roshan Johnson or Deontay Foreman. While you pick, I can freestyle off any of those 3 you pick. I'll just say right here, Taji Spears, 50% split with King Henry right now for the Titans. You know, not saying he's doing much with it, but I think 69 yards on 15 touches. So he's going to do all right, right? You got Roshan Johnson. And then, of course, we got Deontay Foreman benefiting off that Khalil Herbert high ankle sprain for the Bears. Obviously, if Justin Fields really going to do this every week and the Bears are for real, they're going to have a running back. Roshan Johnson, I think, is the one you target out of these 3 guys. That's him over Taji Spears. Deontay Foreman shouldn't even be in the picture, although he has the pedigree, you know. So who you got here? You got Spears? Look at that. I mean, I don't know if it's Henry's time is done, but like I said, this boy's been punishing people for a long time. You know, they're going to wear and tear a little faster. He done did his job. Like, shouldn't be ashamed. Just, you know. Running backs, that's what happens. That's why these boys ain't getting paid. We seeing it every year, you know.
And what's his style of play? Is it reminiscent to Henry, or is it a different kind of play?
You know, Henry didn't get a lot of love as far as passing, receiving, targets-wise, you know. So if you look at Taji Spears, where's he looking at? Yeah, I mean, you're talking about at least 4 out of 5 looks his way, and he's converting them all too. You know what I mean? They're actually catches. He's turning the targets into touches into catches. So, I mean, I guess that's more of the third down back he used to be, but now he's starting to take over more because he's overtaking him 52% of the carries. So yeah, he's got a little more versatility, obviously, right? A little more pep to the step, I believe. Look at him right there. That's true. He's a rookie guy. I didn't even know. I thought it was at least 1 year. But hey, if we go to receivers, brother, pick one of these guys. We got Josh Reynolds. This was kind of obvious, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to think on the fly who else we could look for. You got Josh Reynolds or Josh Palmer? Maybe we could try Palmer. But you already got Reynolds here. Let's look at it. You know, we know about Mike Williams on the Chargers out. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's going to be missing some time. Look, Josh Reynolds got the rapport, man, with Jared Goff. There's no reason he shouldn't be scooped up now. If he ain't, go get him. Go spend some dough for him. Don't be shy. This is a guy that's been doing all right and going to continue doing all right. He did miss a game there in the middle of the season, but if you remove that fluke, you know what I'm saying? The guy was kind of there, damn near double-digit points every game played. You feel me? See, right there. So, and I mean, you go down, does the schedule get more friendly? You know why you got it up? Nothing really there looks scary, right?
So,
besides your obvious.
So, week six, they got Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Vegas bye week. They got the Rams, Chicago, Green Bay, New Orleans, Chicago, and
I would say Reynolds or Rashi Rice. You for sure spending money on, right? Justin Jefferson's hurt. If you got Addison, you happy. Don't be trying to get KJ Osborne. We done saw what kind of motherfucker he is with his opportunities. He's like one of the boys that keep fucking up. Like, don't trust him. Ain't no reason you be playing him and chasing his, you know, two games a year where, you know, he gets two touchdowns, two catches. You know that. That's all I got, man. For the right, shit, man. If you want to keep rolling, bro.
So we got a minute left on the weekly deep sleep waiver wire targets. Do you got anything else on that? You want to move on to
week 7 stats? Man, if we could touch back from 2 weeks ago, these Texans receivers, obviously, you know, I love them. You know, Nico so far, the trade hasn't panned out, I would say, yet, but it's only been a week. CJ Stroud still fucking playing phenomenal, bro. So, I think 1,200 yards now, no interceptions. Only quarterback in NFL history to be doing that and opening his career past Andrew Luck.
Yeah, Nico, wow. The last game wasn't a monster game for him or anything like that, but Tank Dell's gone down with a concussion, and so
opportunities there.
Opportunities might open up. Dalton Schultz actually showed some life, and I think he scored like around 19 or 20 points. So he did that on my bench, which was nice to see. So I think likely I'll be putting him in the spot of Tank Dell because I have both those guys on my roster. But Nico Collins, man, I'm still on your side. I'm still on Team Nico, I believe. We'll see what happens with the Texans there. But we'll go into the Week 7 stash. So do we want to follow up? We should now be able to answer the Week 5 stash. So we...
And basically how I attacked that is I did a little trending down, trending up. You know, which of our picks are trending down or worse, and which of them are actually going up. That way we can track them at least for 2-3 weeks lifespan, you know. So I appreciate that, man. I'll tell you, the first guy was Cam Akers, and this was a fresh one from last week. Trending down, man, Minnesota, he's just got to get familiar with it, right? The thing is, even once he is familiar with it, you're not going to find the same explosive Cam Akers that came back. Even if you do, what I'm trying to say is the Vikings, I think they're 64%. They lead the league. 69% passing, bro. 69% plays are passing. They lead the league, right? You got Cincy at 66% and then Denver at 62%. So, I mean, those are your three highest teams that are passing. So, I mean, you don't want to be any running back right there when you're only getting 30% of your offense is running. You know what I mean? I don't know how you feel about that, but one trending up was Jaleel. We mentioned him earlier, Jaleel McLaughlin. Javonte Williams got the hip flexor. You know, that's fucking up the shit that had to do with him coming back from the ACL. So, I mean, he's going to be at least out, 3 or 4 weeks? He's not going to be 100%. He could come back week 6, right? But again, he ain't going to be 100% for at least another month. So they're going to risk that re-injury or what? Time to stash some of these boys. I don't know what you're thinking, but Curtis Samuel. Wide receiver. I'm just going to mention him because we caught him last week, 2 weeks ago. If you could pull him up for me while I'm just trying to say how he likes to spread the ball. 11 different players have caught the ball, you know, last week in that that Commanders game. 8 of those players had 2+ catches. So what am I saying? 11 different players caught the fucking ball. How's going to spread it Is that bad for Curtis Samuel? Sure. But that also means it's good. That means he's going to get a little bit of it. And it looks like he's usually schemed into these gadget plays, you know, trying to leave it wide open or get the one cut and end around and accelerate and take advantage of the speeds. So I hope he keeps eating, man.
Let me see here. Mr. Curtis Samuel, what are you doing, sir?
Curtis Samuel, yeah. See, so.
Yeah, so let's
look. So you see here that Thursday nighter. That Thursday nighter against the Bears, it wasn't even garbage time. So, you know, I know that's one thing people like to point at, even though fantasy's fantasy. We don't care if it's garbage time, but a lot of people like to use that against a player sometimes. But, you know, so those were when the game was competitive. Obviously, it looks like it was his first touchdown scored. So you might think, okay, inflated numbers, like we had mentioned earlier when we saw, I forget who, but if you do notice, so, hey, he scored 18 points 2 weeks ago with the Philly game, you know, that overtime game. And up and down guy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and so targets just over the course of the game. So we got 5, 3, 4.
You're hoping this guy's a plug in. Yeah, for your bye week blues, you know, got an easy, decent schedule coming up, especially who he's going to be playing against.
Yeah, I mean, his lowest game was against Denver, which is kind of surprising. You'd think that he'd be feasting more on Denver's whole team. Yeah. But that was a 6 point. Other than that, it's like, you know, it's 11, it's 18, 18. So pretty, very solid. Is he on anyone?
All right, man.
Yeah, it's on your team.
I was going to jump. Yep. I got him for sure. Hey, so as far as this week's stash picks, bro, Amari, we talked about him earlier, the Cardinals running back. That's everyone's going to be fighting for him, so I wouldn't want to – I guess that's not a stash, right? That was more of a waiver wire pickup, so my bad. Keandre Miller, he's probably dropped right now in the league. You know I'm sorry. Not kidding. What's the boy for the Dolphins? We talked about him earlier in the show. Jeff Wilson Jr. You know, I don't know if he scooped up. You know, D had him on the IR, so maybe in your league he's off. But Zeke's a name you probably didn't want to hear. Zeke, bro.
It's a name you said not to draft. Well, hey, definitely don't draft, but, you know.
Well, we ain't going to draft, but, I mean, shit. You know what I'm saying?
You might call you in the middle of the night if I need you.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, shit, we 3-4 crowns in. You know what I mean? We might want to – shit, you looking like royalty to me now. So, Deke, man, you blinked. If you blink, he split 50% carries with Rod Moore Stevenson. Patriots running back. So, I mean, you know, that could be a stash and wait and see what happens. They could blow that whole thing up straight up because – back-to-back losses like that ever. Belichick had just broke the record for a worst loss 2 weeks ago, and then he followed it up with an even more worse loss just Sunday. God dog, you know, God bless Bill O'Brien, man. But Josh Downs, God, I'm naming all these players that fucking Bob's got, bro. It was scaring me, man. But Josh Downs, wide receiver, Colts. I mean, even with Minshew in there, it doesn't hurt his chances. It probably makes it better. You know what I'm saying? So last three games, though, 21 targets, I say. 21 targets, 16 catches. Boy's balling, man. Almost 200 yards. That was a run design for one first offense, too. So the fact that he's putting up these numbers now, again, with Minshew there, go ahead, scoop that boy up, man. Tight ends was the last thing I will hit on. What's up? You good?
No. I'm good, sorry.
Tight ends, I read somewhere on the X-verse, 13 different tight ends scored 10 points or more, bro. So, I mean, it was obviously the week of the tight end. Zach Ertz, we already know, right? He's steady just getting his 8-9 points. Good little floor per game. But what's impressive is he's got a third of the target share for the Cardinals. So, Logan Thomas is another guy. I'm telling you, Logan Thomas here, Doug. Do you know this cat? I think he played quarterback for Virginia Tech and then changed positions or some shit like that.
He came for a while trying to do quarterback, and then he got pushed to like tight end. I think he tried I think he had a cup of coffee at wide – or is he still wide receiver? Is he tight end now? He's tight end, right?
Tight end. Yeah, big boy, man. He's killing it out there, bro. So I think in the last 4 out of 5 games, he's averaging, what, 5 catches, 70 yards. You know what I'm saying? 50 yards a game, 5 catches, you know. It's nice, man. It's good to see. And a boy that I didn't know if you gave up on him yet, though, Dalton Schultz.
I did not. I knew deep down in my jellies, I felt like he was going to do something. He had to. I feel like his athleticism at the position, I knew they were going to try to target him more. I just felt like it was a matter of they just kind of didn't get to him. They didn't force it in there. But either way, it's like
I almost want to say Slowik was saving it, bro. Like he just Slowik didn't want to unleash that part of the playbook yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
and I think it's evident because they let him his routes run. They said doubled from about 40% weeks.
Well,
one
so
to
he
four.
Scored. He scored 13 points in week four against Pittsburgh, but like that was kind of more, like he was more efficient with what he got. He only got targeted three times. So targeted three times for 42 yards. So that's the kind of benefit of the PPR league, but it's kind of hard to game plan for that. Going to get someone that's like high efficient. So you're always going for targets. Right. And in week five, his targets went up all the way up to 10. and he scored 19 points, 7 receptions, 65 yards. I think he had a touchdown. Yeah. So he scored a touchdown in the last two games. So he's definitely, getting more involved in the offense. We said Tank Dell's going down with concussion. I've got both these players. So I think Dalton Schultz has definitely earned a start on my team this week going against New Orleans. And then you have,
I'll say
Nico
this,
Collins
it's good
too,
to draft.
I'll
say it's good to draft players out of this. This offense is slowly climbing the rankings, bro. It's top 10 in completions, top 10 in yards, top 10 in touchdowns all through the year. You know what I mean? So it's only growing. So get a piece of them shares now, you know, among other teams, of course. But,
cool, man. Well, do you want to move it into Balls Deep League news? Do we have anything else on the kind of stashes?
Bro, Balls Deep. Let's get into it, man. I mean, let's light a candle for me. I finally got my first fucking win of 2023. Like, damn, man. Had to be against John Vu. That's right. That's why we keep him in the league, man. So we need that bounce back. Bounce back. That get right.
Poor John. I think he was labeled the worst team for the trophies this week. Let's see what they were. I had DJ Moore this past week, so he mainly carried the team. I lucked out there.
Win by yeah.
So DJ Moore put up 50. I didn't win by that much. Where I think it wasn't until later in on Sunday evening it had to be winning out, and so I think I scooted by like 25, 30 at the most. But I had a lot of players that didn't do too hot, and then I left points on the bench. But yeah, DJ Moore, man. Saved my game there, so I really needed it because I was one of the limbo teams here, like at 2-2. So I needed to find a way to separate.
Turn the corner, yeah. I tell you, Zach Moss was my hero. I was trying to trade him, nobody would bite, so I'm glad it worked out. But other than that,
you want to here's the news item for the Balls Deep League. I turned off some notifications on the Sleeper app on my mobile app because I was getting a lot of chat. Sometimes it's kind of distracting. But I guess I also turned off the trade offers, so I didn't see it. I logged in and I saw that Steve had he was willing to trade me Bijan for Achane, and like literally before the game, before he got injured, and I could have taken that deal. It was like a straight up trade, and he was coming for him. So Steve, I saw the trade, but for your sake, I missed it. And he's probably sitting there saying like, "Oh wow, I've been terrible."
Shit.
Yeah. So and Bijan's really come alive. I think even in our mock drafts, Will was like, "Don't know if I'll trust him." Like I'm going Nick Chubb. If you have a flashback scene to that right there.
Oh.
But yeah, completely being a big staple point of the Atlanta Falcons right now, and definitely a workhorse for the offense. Yeah, but who's the quarterback for the Falcons again?
Desmond Ridder, man.
Yeah, had a pretty good game against the Texans. So it's not all on Bijan. The Falcons are definitely showing some life.
Yeah.
So, that's a hot story. That kind of stings. I'm like, oh. But, like, I don't know. Would I have traded him even if I knew he was healthy?
Would you? I probably would have, bro. Because
maybe.
To me, it's like.
Yeah, it's more of a staple piece.
That's a Godfather deal. Yeah, that's an RB1 for somebody you just scooped up off the fucking
waiver
wire.
Yeah, so
that's a Godfather deal, brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, you want to be the guy saying, like, hey, I scooped this guy up, man. He's mine.
Yeah, but it could be a keeper.
I was with him when nobody wanted you.
So, I mean, we'll see how he comes back, but he could be a keeper for next year, too.
Yeah. Hey, besides me, there's another guy who's 1-4. Bernie Mac. We've talked about him earlier. He got Cup coming back. Jonathan Taylor coming back. Obviously, one of them's easing into action. That's Taylor. Cup came back full force. And then back to Steve. He's the only 5-0 guy. You know, it would have been crazy. He's got Bijan. He's got shit. Let's pull up Steve's roster, man. Let's just see all the points he's scoring. I think he won 200 points, bro. Not one. He scored 200 points. Whoever the hell he beat. But I'm over here. Need one receiver to score double, which is just at his old roster scoring. And he was the one who was complaining about the whole roster changes and shit. But I was like, fuck, man. He's dominating, man.
There he is.
Yeah.
I hate how Sleeper has their whole thing.
Oh, fuck Steve, man. We're good.
That's okay. Okay, there we go. I got it right here, sir. Don't you go anywhere.
Hey, and I will say, this motherfucker, man, if he wins this year, they're getting points from Raheem Mostert, man. Bijan Robinson chilling. Jalen Hurts is the one.
And
Calvin Ridley got dunked.
You
and
said
Puka. And yeah. Addison, these rookies. He's got two rookies. Goddamn, 40 points off just two rookies. Ah, dog. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, he's lucked out. He's drafted well, then also hit on some players and rookies, which you just never know. Brother. So that's always what happens every single time. Like, that's the formula. And so like, there's really good luck.
Yeah.
But that's where Steve did really well last season, too. So I was joking.
Yeah.
Not really, but like, get him on the channel. What are you doing? What are you doing differently?
Uh-huh. You need to call in, man. He don't want to share the secret.
No, yeah. And then you had said last week that Raheem Mostert that, you know, there's a reason why he's kind of been chopped around and Achane was going to be taking the lead. Now he goes down. So his value kind of goes up. Has to in your book, huh?
Absolutely, bro. I mean, he himself is not that durable, but absolutely, man. So he's going to be around. We'll just see. And I think the Dolphins, Mike McDaniel knows that. So he likes to have a stable. That's why it is a committee, so he can keep his boys fresh. Alleviate the pressure from each other. So, hey,
yeah.
Stock Alrighty. Up the show.
Cool. Well, do we have any hot topic news for the last item of the day, which would be the what's happening? I don't really have a current event. I mean, we know what's going on is a very heavy item overseas.
Yeah,
I don't really want to bring that to the show. Too heavy for the show, but
man, it is wild as fuck, though, man.
It is crazy.
I will say the writer's strike's still going on. I'm trying to figure out what's going down because, man. Trying to see.
I thought they resolved that.
Oh, good. I hope so. But Loki, you know, we might as well bring up Loki. I'm ready to watch that season. The episode already came out, season two.
I haven't seen it, no.
You saw season one?
Yeah, I saw season one, yes.
Yeah, season one was epic, man. All those characters coming back, so should be something good.
Yeah, it's one of the few of those mini shows that have actually done pretty well. All of them kind of like poo-poo. They've kind of muddied or, you know, the quantity has taken away of the quality. So I think even Disney's pulled back with like the economy and money and how they haven't done that well, but that's what I've heard. But yeah, man, we'll check it out. I haven't seen it since then. I forget how
did
it
did you
ended.
See the Raiders stadium last night?
No.
It looks like it's all LED. It's a ball. So it's crazy. It could just be anything. They can project anything on it, but it's like a TV screen.
Yeah, it's not the Raiders Stadium. That's a whole new concert
venue.
That's
their own thing?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, shit. I thought that was crazy. Their stadium,
it's,
bro.
Yeah, so it's like the Las Vegas Sphere, everyone's calling it, but it's a...
Oh, shit.
It's
okay.
It's a stadium venue. U2, I think, did the first open concert, and it's really crazy. So outside, it's all 360 around, and where it's like LED
it's wild, yeah.
Is, panels, and inside is the same thing. So when you're inside going, watching a show of something like U2, they had like psychedelic colors everywhere. So even the worst seats, you feel like you're transported. And actually I've seen videos of it where the whole landscape around you is a mountain scene. And so it feels in, I'll try to pull it up. Let me pull this up.
Fuck yeah,
those listening
bro.
At home won't be able to kind of partake, but at least I'll even edit this out if it's not good for the audio ears. Let's see.
So you could just rent that shit yourself and just excuse me. Yeah. 1.2 million LED lights, Jeebus.
All right, so here is the Vegas Sphere. You see that? That's actually inside the sphere. Like, you can see everyone in the crowd.
Yeah, that's
as well.
Super IMAX, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy. Anywho. All right, man. Well, good little show. It's always a pleasure here with you on
brother.
The show. And we'll continue at the week. I'll try to get this one out real quickity split. Try to hit the airwaves into the morning. So this should hit everything. So if you're listening to this, you're probably waking up on a Wednesday morning, have some cup of coffee and drive in to work.
Day.
If you still drive in, don't go to work. If you don't go to work, just make sure you wash
light
your bowl. Butt. Yeah, man, do whatever. All right, man. Well, I guess
don't spend too much money tonight on the waiver wire.
You know, I want to talk about that, about strategy, about how you typically dish out your cash. So we'll get into that next week. All right, man.
All right, brother.
All right.
Good night, mate.
Peace.